And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
What is going on, listeners? Welcome into RBLR Bucks, your home for all things Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I am your co-host, Musab, and I am so glad you decided to spend a little bit of your time with us, or your day, your night, your work drive, wherever you are. Now, I know it's the offseason, but if there's one thing we know about the NFL, there's always something cooking, whether it's roster moves, player development, league storylines, you know, camp buzz. So we're going to take a step back and we're going to reflect on, you know, where teams, you know, stand, but also, you know, just reflect on all things, you know, NFL related. So, but look, we want to hear from you as always. No matter how you're listening to this show, please don't hesitate to leave a comment, send us a message, join the conversation online. However you're listening to this, we genuinely, seriously care about what you think. Your opinions, your questions, your concerns, your hot takes, all of it, seriously. This show is better because of the community, you know, you guys. So, and of course, before we get rolling, a huge shout out to the rest of the RBLR crew for holding it down across Tampa Bay, you know, covering our beloved Rays, Lightning, you know, our Sun, Rowdies, and, you know, of course, our beloved University of South Florida. Go Bulls, baby. So enough for me now. It's time to introduce my co-host. He is the man who studies the game like a defensive coordinator on a championship weekend. He's got the passion of a linebacker flying downhill. He's got the precision of a franchise quarterback in the two-minute drill and enough football knowledge to fill Raymond James Stadium. Whether he's breaking down film, dissecting roster moves, or delivering takes hotter than a Florida afternoon in June, he's always ready to bring the energy. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Mr. Carter Brantley. How are you, my friend?
It's good. It's a pleasure to be with you, Mr. Treek. I'm so glad to have you on the show with me. It's always a good night when I can finish it off with some Musab Treek in my life. And I'm excited to talk some ball. We're not necessarily talking Bucks specifically today. Like Musab said, we're kind of taking a 1,000-foot view at the NFL, and this time we're taking a really, really high view. We're continuing our all-time ranking series, and this week we have wide receivers. Last week it was running backs. This week we're talking our top 10 wide receivers of all time. We'll talk about some honorable mentions as well. Any Bucks guys that might just miss the list, or maybe he's on our list. I know what everyone's thinking, but we'll get to it. If you're here for your first time or whether you're a returning listener, definitely hit that like and subscribe button. We'd really appreciate it. As well as, like Musab Tariq said, hit us with some comments, man. Maybe we missed somebody even on our honorable mentions and our top 10 that someone's like, man, how did you guys not list this guy? We'd love to hear about him, because these lists are always super, you know, you're really, really splitting hairs with these lists. I always like to say that, because hey, we're gonna be talking about some all-time greats, and the difference between these all-time greats is marginally thin. So, you know, one guy's number one might be another guy's number five. That's kind of what we ran into last week with running backs. I'm sure we'll run into that again this week with wide receivers. But enough hemming and hawing. We'll talk about honorable mentions after we give our top 10, kind of change up the format from last week. But we'll start at number 10. Mr. Tariq, who did you have starting out our top 10 for the wide receivers list?
Ooh, okay. I like how we're going backwards. Makes it a little bit more spicier. So, okay. Indeed. At number 10. Yeah, number 10, I had Steve Smith Jr. He was playing from 01 to 2016, racked up over 1,000 receptions, 14,000 yards, 81 touchdowns. First of all, the guy was 5'9", but he played, you know, that kind of aggressive smash mouth football. 13 with Carolina and then 3 with Baltimore. So he was, you know, mainly a Panther, but just an absolute dog. He actually won that NFL Triple Crown back in 05, leading the league in catches, yards, and touchdowns. So to play that long with that size and that violent, you know, kind of playing style, yeah, I kind of feel like it's, you know, it's borderline impossible. So also, you know, he's 8th all-time career receiving yards. So I wanted to throw him on there. Wanted to make sure, you know, he got some love. And I'll probably say he was probably one of those, you know, big guys that I remember when I first got into football, I would see a lot, especially because he was a Panther. So we could see him twice a year.
I'm glad you found a spot for him because I did not, but he narrowly missed. Like, he might be 11th or 12th, you know, if you expand the list by one or two folks, he definitely makes it. But I mean, he was the junkyard dog of all-time great wide receivers. He's definitely the most, like, you know, smash mouth kind of hit you in the mouth type of player on this wide receiver list, I think. I mean, I remember that clip. It makes the rounds, like, it feels like once a year, where he hauls in a touchdown pass, celebrates, and then gets up and immediately starts trash talking like Malcolm Jenkins, I think it was, for the Saints. It was what, a Panther Saints game, and they were just going at it. And like, that's just all time stuff. You know, that's what you watch NFL games for, is that kind of back and forth. And you don't really get that anywhere quite as much as you get it with, like, wide receiver versus secondary players, whether it's a safety or a corner. So Steve Smith, man, he was one of those dudes for sure. My number 10 guy was James Lofton. He retired in 93. Yeah, he retired in 93. And when he retired, he was the all-time leading receiving yards guy. Unfortunately, Jerry Rice took that over, and then passing game exploded, and then he's kind of gotten leapfrogged by a bunch of other guys. But at the time, man, he's considered, you know, Hall of Famer, obviously, played from 78 to 93. He was part of some really tremendous Green Bay Packers teams. He was two-time first team all pro, two-time second team all pro. He was just elite, really, really good wide receiver during his day, over 14,000 receiving yards. He's really fun. And he had a nice little coaching career afterwards as well. He was also an NCAA champion in the long jump at Stanford University. So really a multi-athlete, very intelligent player as well. Obviously he went into coaching for a reason. Jerry Rice isn't coaching, you know, I mean, I'm sure if someone asked him to, he would, but, it shows his thought process and how good he was at processing the game. And James Lofton, man, he makes my list at number 10. I really liked reading about the historic guys. I tried to balance, because, man, we'll get into this with quarterbacks too. Wide receivers are going to skew a little modern when you look at the all-time rankings. That's just how it is because of the modern game and how it's come. So maybe I overcompensated a little bit, you know, where to the point where, like, maybe I should have not, you know, included so many older dudes, but I don't know. I tried to strike that balance because it is cool. But my number 9 guy is Tim Brown. He's actually a Buck, given only 1 year. He only played in 2004 near the end of his career, but really another, you know, just elite wide receiver. And he's also born in Denton, Texas. So I thought that was cool. I was born in Denton, Texas. So, but he played all his career for the Raiders up until when he played for the Bucs towards the end of it. So he played for that Super Bowl champion Raiders team. I thought he played for the Super Bowl Bucs team, but no, he was great, man. He was an all-time great, had over 14,000 receiving yards. He almost had 15,000 receiving yards. He's the guy that overtook James Lofton as well. You know, one of the many that did, unfortunately, in the modern era. So he's really cool. He's also the chairman and commissioner of the Arena League, an indoor football league that began in 2024. So that's kind of fun. Wow. Tim Brown, man. We kind of shared our list a little bit beforehand. And I think he makes your list as too, right, Musa? But you have him a little bit higher than I did. So that's kind of cool. But who did you have at number 9?
Absolutely. Yeah, man. Number 9, I had Reggie Wayne, you know, Colts legend. He played for 14 seasons. A little background, from 01 to 2014, you know, racked up again over 1,000 receptions, about 14,300 yards, 82 touchdowns. So yeah, all 14 with the Colts, and you know, kind of the ultimate technician. And you know, I'm sure, you know, people think, you know, he was a sidekick to Marvin Harrison, but you know, when Harrison left, you know, Wayne stepped right in. Yeah. He stepped right into that wide receiver one spot. He kept rolling. He had 7 consecutive seasons with 80 plus catches and, you know, 1,000 plus yards, you know, 10th all time in NFL history in receiving yards. So just also a clutch piece in the playoffs, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Reggie Wayne narrowly misses my list, too. I mean, your first two guys are great. And, I think this next guy that you're going to list also just missed my list. I mean, we are talking about the wide receiver position is really stacked I mean, with talent. And we're going to talk about some modern guys that maybe just missed our list as well later on in the show, or some modern guys that have a chance to make these lists eventually with some more play. But man, there were just so many amazing wide receivers throughout the NFL's history. And it's really hard to pick just 10. But Reggie Wayne, man, it was insane that Peyton Manning went from having Marvin Harrison to having Reggie Wayne, like, kind of as his wide receiver one. And then obviously in Denver, he had Wes Welker and Demaryius Thomas as well. Obviously Peyton Manning's one of the best quarterbacks ever. So, you know, there's kind of he made them a little bit better as well, but man, they're also really, really good. So, they're really cool to read about. But who did you have for number eight, Mr. Tariq, who comes in at the eight spot?
Yeah, number eight, Chris Carter. Mm. Played from 87 to 2002, so a little bit more on the older side, or back in the old days kind of vibe. But anyways, almost, 14,000 yards, 130 touchdowns.
Yes.
16 seasons. So, from playing with the Eagles, Vikings, Dolphins, even – the Eagles, we're not even going to count that. It was kind of a little bit of a rocky start, but he went to Minnesota and kind of just became, the model of, I would probably say like a reliable wide receiver. Put up 8 straight 1,000-yard seasons, led the NFL in receiving touchdowns 3 times. He was known for being like a cheat code, in the red zone. So.
Yeah, definitely.
This was probably one guy that I – this was probably the first guy I was like, okay, I got to, do a little bit more. Had to watch some tape, learn a little bit more about him. Steve Smith and Reggie Wayne, those guys, were my 10 and 9 were my childhood. Those were the ones that when I first started, I was like, whoa, these guys are animals. So, but, yeah. I guess, like you said, I got to pay respect to the OGs. So.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love the Chris Carter inclusion. People forget – he kind of, not that Randy Moss wasn't talented enough to kind of, and he'll make both of our lists. Don't worry, we're not leaving off Randy Moss. But Chris Carter was the other guy in Minnesota with Randy Moss when Randy Moss first came in 98, and they played a few seasons together. And I have to imagine that Randy Moss took a little bit from Chris Carter and vice versa, So I would love to. Not that Randy Moss stole Chris Carter's shine or anything, because Chris Carter, Hall of Fame wide receiver, all time great. We wouldn't be having this conversation if not. But I would be curious to see just how like astronomically great his Chris Carter's numbers would be if he hadn't shared the field with Randy Moss for those years. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of one of those things, like Randy Moss comes in and it's freaking Randy Moss. You're going to feed him the ball. But you still also have Chris Carter. So it's really cool to think about the NFL's history and how it overlaps, how things kind of come together. But speaking of overlapping, I've got number eight, Marvin Harrison. I know we were talking about Reggie Wayne previously, and Marvin Harrison, a very similar career arc to Reggie Wayne, came in with the Colts. Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison, man, they're one of, if not the most dynamic duos in terms of quarterback wide receiver combinations in the history of the game. Peyton Manning had a big part of that, but so did Marvin Harrison. He was elite. All the records and the receiving yards and the receiving touchdowns, like, Marvin Harrison is all over the record books as well. And so he comes in at number eight for me. But number seven, you have Marvin Harrison too.
Harrison, yes, yeah. I do. Yeah, for him again, yeah, kind of just dynamic duo with him and Peyton Manning. Just also, I think the big thing for me was, as much as as he was a stud, a legend, absolutely out there, I mean, it was just that 8-year run where he was averaging like almost 100 catches, like 1,400 yards, 12 touchdowns. So I wasn't just kind of like a little hot streak. I mean, this was 8 years of just clockwork, execution. So, just all those kind of with all the kind of, harder hits back then, what I'm saying?
It in a crazy era.
That was a tough era. So, right. I have to give credit to all these guys that we've mentioned so far. They played in some tough times, especially with those bone crushing hits and all that. So I got to give props to, Marvin Harrison for still looking elite in his 30s.
Yeah, I like to think of Marvin Harrison as to make like a modern comp for those who didn't get to see him. I sort of think of him as being like if Michael Thomas was able to sustain those 2 years where he was like one of the best wide receivers in football over like a decade plus, you know, like that was Marvin Harrison, man. He, yeah, I mean, that 5-year stretch might be the sharpest peak, other than maybe another guy that we mentioned a little bit later on in the show, but he might have the sharpest peak of any wide receiver in the NFL's history, because man, those, like you said, those 5 years, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, he made it seem boring because it was just so consistent, but at the same time, like, you can't overlook greatness. So yeah, man, Marvin Harrison, absolutely crazy stuff. I had Larry Fitzgerald, speaking of consistent, at number 7. The only reason I even knocked him down just a little bit, I tried to era adjust a little bit. He also played for a really long time, and he had kind of had an awkward career where, like, he played at the beginning when Randy Moss was in the NFL and at his prime, and then Calvin Johnson came in and kind of overtook that wide receiver one spot. And then by the time Larry Fitzgerald was a little bit older, but still good, Julio Jones comes in. And you know, so it's kind of one of those tough things where Larry Fitzgerald kind of suffers from that same Mike Evans type of fate, where maybe he was never quite the number one wide receiver in the NFL. But at the same time, he is that Mike Evans mold, where he's like one of the most consistent wide receivers in the history of the NFL. And he did it all in Arizona, which is really cool. Like, you don't see a whole lot of one NFL team guys, especially not anymore. But even back then, it wasn't necessarily super common. So Larry Fitzgerald coming in at number 7 for me. And then I had, speaking of, Julio Jones at number 6. This kind of gets into where I started getting into football, was like watching Julio Jones just absolutely light it up with the Atlanta Falcons. Him and Matty Ice, like, they were crazy. I mean, him, Matt Ryan, Tony Gonzalez, like, those offenses were just absolutely bonkers. Kyle Shanahan running that stuff. Julio Jones is kind of the straw that stirred the drink, in my opinion. Like, I know Matt Ryan and obviously Tony Gonzalez as well, two all-time greats as well. But Julio Jones, man, like, he's one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL. And another guy that, like I said, we'll get to, probably takes that spot from him, but Julio Jones is, in my mind, a very close second. Like, if you were building a wide receiver, I think it would be the other guy, but then Julio Jones maybe a close second or third, if you're thinking about like prototypical wide receivers. So Julio Jones at number 6 for me. But who did you have at number 6 for you, Mr. Tariq?
Mr. Tim Brown.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah. No, I had to give him props, first of all. Just 17 seasons, 16, with the Raiders.
Yeah, longevity.
Mr. Longevity, Mr. Raider, whatever you want to call him. I mean, he set an NFL record with 176 consecutive starts, 9 consecutive, 1,000-plus yard seasons. And he did this also, with kind of what you call a revolving door of quarterbacks. So,
That was not.
But the thing I didn't realize this guy was, him when it came to special teams.
Mm-hmm.
4,500 return yards. So this guy, he was taking punts, kickoffs, short slants over the middle for almost 2 decades. So, and again, man, the league was tougher back then, man. You know what I'm saying? It's still hard right now. You know what I'm saying? But man, can't imagine what some of them guys went through.
Yeah, when you era adjust for Tim Brown, he's really, really tough. Like, he's a really, really
man. You can't, you can't throw someone like Justin Jefferson in a role like Tim Brown. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Can you see these young wide receivers, being thrown back in the old days?
Right. I feel you. Tim Brown, man, he was the guy for sure. And who did you have at number 5 for your list, Mr. Tariq?
Ooh, number 5. Yeah, this number 5 is where now we kind of start coming back to the the modern days, or the Musab Carter days. And unfortunately, longevity wasn't his cup of tea. But oh man, Mr. Calvin Johnson, dude. Jesus. My God, dude. I think for me, he is my number 1 big body receiver, dude. And just only 9 seasons, but absolute animal.
Yeah.
6 straight Pro Bowls. He held the single season record with like 1,900 yards.
Yeah.
Insane. Just 9 years of just legendary football.
He went out on top for sure. He went out on his own
team. I mean, people would talk about, double teaming him and,
triple teaming him.
You've seen Phil. I also forgot how massive he was until I think we've all seen. I think it was a photo of him and some really other really big wide receiver or just some other big football player or something. And yeah, he was posted up to him, and he looked much bigger. I was like, wow. So it's just crazy, dude. Crazy. I mean, Megatron for a reason, dude. So yeah, that's why he's my number five.
I still remember the cover of, I forget what year it was for Madden, but like it was like Megatron was on the cover, and that was such a cool, that was such a cool Madden. That was back when, you know, they actually cared about putting out a good product for video games or sports video games in particular. But yeah, man, Megatron, I mean, you see all those pictures where like it's, I think it was the Texans that had like literally just two cornerbacks lined up on top of, like just lined up in front of them. And it was just, it just didn't matter. You know, like you could throw any type of coverages, like whether you had a corner and a safety above them. Like it was literally, you just threw the whole kitchen sink at them, and Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford found a way. Johnson is really, really tough. And yeah, definitely makes my top five as well. But I have Isaac Bruce number five. He was part of those Greatest Show on Turf's teams with the Rams. Him and Kurt Warner were just lighting it up. I mean, Kurt Warner, obviously an all-time great in his own right, but I think he would defer to Marshall Faulk and Isaac Bruce just as much as anyone else would, because Isaac Bruce, man, I think he's fifth all-time in receiving yards. And Bruce, man, he was an absolute man. He was an absolute manimal for those Rams teams in the late 90s, early 2000s. Kind of a similar to the Julio Jones type of role, where like he was the guy, the reason, you know, a big reason why their offenses were so explosive in that era. And they were doing some stuff that like a lot of the modern NFL teams are doing now, you know, conceptually and schematically. So it's really cool to look back on those teams, and Isaac Bruce, obviously a big part of them. So he came in at number five for me. And then Calvin Johnson was number four on my wide receivers list. And, you know, we kind of just talked about him. So we're getting into the rarefied air here. I think our top three might be unanimous, but this is where we have the lone disagreement moving forward. Who came in at number four for you, Musa?
Number four, Larry Fitzgerald. Just to me, just another legend, man. I mean, all these guys are legends, but 17 seasons dedicated purely to the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah. Second in all time in catches and yards. The durability, he had 9 seasons where he started all 16 games. Over 1,400 receptions, you know, 17,500 yards, 121 touchdowns. Just, again, same thing, dude. This was also one of those, you know, kind of childhood legends.
Yeah.
2004 to 2020, you know what I'm saying? So this guy was balling, you know, just before COVID happened.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's Fitzgerald, man. He's not Fitz Magic. That, I guess that'd be Fitzpatrick, but he had his own Fitz Magic when he was running around in Arizona. And he didn't exactly deal with a lot of quarterback stability himself. I know he caught Kurt Warner towards the tail end of Warner's career. After him, he went to Arizona to play for Bruce Arians, you know, Bucks legend, obviously the Ring of Honor guy. So it's cool to see how that kind of interconnects. There's a little bit of a degrees of Kevin Bacon with Fitzgerald and the Bucks. So Larry Fitzgerald, man, he's pretty cool. And then coming in at number three, we're unanimous in our top three, same order and everything. So number three for myself and Mr. Tariq, we had Terrell Owens. Mr. Tariq, what's there to say about Terrell Owens, man? He was, For my youth and for growing up, like he was kind of like the mercenary wide receiver, but in a very good way. Like, you know, he kind of bounced around a lot, but man, when you had T.O. on your team, you had a guy that would demand the ball, but like for good reason, you know. I mean, he was insane. But what are your thoughts on Terrell Owens?
Yeah, man, T.O. was that guy. You know what I'm saying? That's the best way to describe him. You know, he wasn't a legend. I mean, he was saucy with it, you know what I'm saying? And he knew that. And, you know, despite all the other things, you know, people say about his locker room personality vibes and all that other crap.
Right.
Dude, this guy was, I mean, no one ever, you know, you could never kind of question his, you know, his fitness or his preparation. I mean, 9,000 yard campaigns. Even at the age of 37, you know, with an ugly Cincinnati team, this guy dropped like 900 yards. You know what I'm saying? So at the age of 37. So, I mean, it's just, I feel like you just got to respect it no matter what. So, and I mean, he was a baller too, man. Almost 16,000 yards, 153 touchdowns in 15 seasons. Yeah, man. I think rightfully so, top three.
Yeah, I mean, and it's tough because he kind of suffers a little bit similar for the Larry Fitzgerald type of thing, where like he comes in sort of at a similar time to Randy Moss. And so I don't know that there was ever a time that Terrell Owens was ever the best wide receiver in the NFL, but it was very often that he was the second best, and the first best just happened to be Randy Moss. And Randy Moss is number two on our list. He created his own verb. Like when you moss someone, like everyone knows when I was growing up, that was the big thing. Like, oh, you got moss. You know, that's a whole segment on Monday Night Football now. It's a thing. And it's because Randy Moss was that dude. He was a big guy, but he was also incredibly athletic. Just absolutely insane. I mean, you see that famous stat line when he was in Minnesota, and it's like, I don't remember when it was, but it's still like relatively early in the game. And he had like three or four catches, but all of them were touchdowns, and he had like close to 200 yards receiving, and it's just like insane stuff. And it's just the legend of Randy Moss just continues to grow. And, I don't know, man, he's absolutely disgusting. Did you have any thoughts on Randy Moss coming in at two on your list?
I mean, from the longevity to the numbers he was putting, man, and also leading the NFL and receiving touchdowns five different times across a 9-year span. I don't know, man. He was another guy who was just unstoppable, dude. 6'4". He ran like a 4.25 40-yard dash, had a 43-inch vertical jump. And it was clearly evident, you know, when you watch it on the tape, dude. You know, you had to really, you know, have a special game plan as to how you were going to stop this guy. And as you said, yeah, I'll still never forget that, you know, that iconic Moss, you know, you just got mossed. And
right.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah. I mean, the screenshot I was referencing, it's become a meme now. It's like they were playing Dallas, and it was the end of the third quarter, and he had three catches for 163 yards, and they were all touchdowns. And it's just like, it's video game numbers, literally. I mean, it's crazy stuff. But speaking of video games numbers, in case you haven't guessed, our number one wide receiver, Jerry Rice. I don't know, man. I totally get that Jerry Rice might not technically, like, on paper be, maybe you'd take Randy Moss or Calvin Johnson talent wise. But it's hard to argue with 22,000 receiving yards, you know? I don't know. Did you even consider putting anyone else number one for your list, Mr. Tariq?
Not at all, dude. Not at all. Unfortunately, look, man, I'm not going to act like I was like, oh, I've seen I remember my Jerry Rice days and all that. You know, I mean, I was a little guy too, but you know, the more and more time you spend, you learn. One day you learn about him, and then you learn why he was great. And then after that, that's all she wrote. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, 22,000 yards. Dude, in 2002, this guy was what, 40 years old? And he racked up 1,200 yards, 92 passes. It just went to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever see that again. Not in my lifetime, not in our kids' lifetime, not in their kids' lifetime, man.
Yeah.
I think that was this iconic. And, you know, we see this in sports, in many sports. There's always going to be a couple of guys who just really, really stood out no matter what time it was. We can talk about football in 2075, or we could go back in time and talk about football in 1955. You're going to have to respect Jerry Rice at number one.
Yeah. I think he might be on my like Mount Rushmore of NFL players, like, you know, the four best players ever. Like, it'll be Brady up there, of course, and maybe Peyton Manning. And I think Jerry Rice makes it too. Like, I think he has a genuine case of being the best non-quarterback player in NFL history. I don't know if I agree with that case, but he definitely has a case. And it's just so undisputed with him. It was just everything from his route running to his catching ability to the fact that he was just super clutch and he was part of so many winning teams. And then of course you actually look at his numbers and it's like, oh yeah, these are ungodly numbers. And he was putting up some ridiculously consistent seasons, even like you said, even into his age 40 season. So yeah, man, Jerry Rice, one of one. I don't really know what else we can say that hasn't already been said about Jerry Rice as a wide receiver in the NFL, because Jerry Rice, not much else to say. And if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe, if you're looking at your wardrobe and thinking, man, I could use a Jerry Rice type addition, then look no further than Musab Tariq, because he is rocking it. And if you want to be like Musab Tariq, like we all should be like Musab Tariq, head to shop.rblrsports.com. We'll give you a promo code. That's Canon, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type it in, get 10% off your entire order. And then you can look almost as fly as Musab Tariq. I don't know if any of us will ever get there, but it's certainly an aspiration that we can reach for. So anyways, moving on to our honorable mentions for the wide receiver list. Honestly, I hate to steal your flow, Mr. Tariq, but Steve Smith, Reggie Wayne, and Chris Carter were like the three guys that really came to mind when I was thinking like, who are guys that are probably going to just miss this list. Were there any other guys that you kind of popped into your head that just missed your list?
Yeah, I'll go with my – let me go with my safer ones, and then I'm going to throw my just because there was just something about him, honorable mention sure. kind of list. So, first of all, on my honorable mention, I got – I just had it right here. I wanted to give a shout out to Anquan Boldin, another kind of OG, I guess, that I saw growing up.
Yeah,
racked up almost 14,000 yards, 1,000 receptions, 82 touchdowns. This guy was running routes, over the middle where dudes would be getting destroyed. You'd have three defenders on his back or something, and he'd be doing this all season or all career long from 2003 to 2016. He was kind of known for that guy. He kind of looked like a linebacker, what I'm saying?
Right.
Like a linebacker playing. Yeah, you a little stocky little bowling ball. So
yeah.
Anquan Boldin, and then I wanted to give a shout out to Isaac Bruce that you had mentioned, and then Torrey Holt.
Part of that
99 to 2009. He set an NFL record, 6 consecutive seasons, 13, 1,000-plus yards. Just overall just super consistent. But
yeah, he kind of suffers from the Calvin Johnson.
A little bit
too short of a career, a little bit too short.
Yeah, and this is why this guy, I want to throw this guy on my honorable mention just because I got a cousin who's a Steelers fan, and, he was also a little bit sad about, how it all happened, but I got to give some love to Antonio Brown, dude. When I was a kid, hold up, man. Look, his off-field timeline. It's a reality TV show disaster, but dude, this is when this was like kind of like my peak, like, cause I had a buddy who, I want to give a shout to him. Shout out to my boy, Rickon, who really got me into football, with the Buccaneers and all that. And this is when I was, seeing Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham, but dude, from like 2013 to like 2018, dude,
he was the guy.
He was unmatchable, man. Averaging 114 catches, 15,000 plus yards.
He was crazy. Yeah,
he wasn't a physical specimen. Okay, like someone like Randy Johnson or Calvin Johnson, but
He might be.
I don't know. It was a week ago. I saw some random little Instagram reel. And it was Andre Johnson. It was Andre Johnson, AB, and someone else, and they were like running routes and all that. And I just forgot about all of them, dude. That kind of time. And I was like, dang, man.
Well, speaking of Andre Johnson, Johnson's a good honorable mention too.
Oh, for sure, sure, dude.
Yeah,
for sure.
No, but I feel you on AB. I think if he had just kept his head on straight, like if he kept his head
screwed on, dude,
man, he would have made this list because he could have kept going. Like that last year, those last 2 years really with the Bucs, like that 2020, like the Bucs might not win that Super Bowl without Antonio Brown. Like he was a big piece of that team. And it's unfortunate, man. He just had too many, like you said, the reality TV, the reality TV off the field stuff was just too much. And I understand why he had to they kind of had to move on from him for sure.
Oh, no, for sure. Unfortunately, dude, that happens with popularity or, being famous.
Sure. No, yeah, I will say DeAndre Hopkins is a guy that just missed my list as well. He's tough. And then I wanted to touch on Mike Evans because, man, I was very tempted to throw him on here, but I couldn't justify putting him over a lot of these guys near the end of my list. I couldn't kick off James Lofton or Tim Brown or Marvin Harrison, obviously. How close were you to putting Mike Evans on your list?
I thought about it really hard, man, just because, with the iconic 12-year run he had with us. I know he's a Niner now, but just an ultimate, I think like an active honorable mention. Easily I would throw him on there, even active top 10. 10th all-time in NFL, receiving yard or touchdowns, 23rd all-time in receiving yards, but just 11 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. And again, like I told you, I forgot who it was, but, just again, the revolving door quarterbacks that this guy's gone through before Tom Brady, just everything about it. A big body wide receiver. Without him, I can't imagine, what our Buccaneers would be, dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it sucks that he's not going to fall into that Fitzgerald category of like spending his whole career with one team.
Yeah,
would have been cool. That would have been cool to see. But it happens, and I think he's the only Buck the only long term Buck that would have made my list at all. I can't really, there have been some good wide receivers in Buccaneer history, not really any great ones quite.
You weren't thinking like Breshad Perriman or.
Oh my God, Rashard. I thought Rashad Perriman was going to be the truth out of college.
Jaden Mickens.
Oh my goodness. Who are some other guys? Scotty Miller, Scooter Scotty.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we can name some guys for sure. But speaking of active guys, who are some other active guys that maybe that either just missed our list and probably won't make it, or some guys that maybe might make it? For me, I do think Justin Jefferson has a very good chance of sneaking his way onto this list at some point. Especially, man, it's just Minnesota. I hate to say it, but I think he might have to get out of Minnesota to accomplish that. Because, man, J.J. McCarthy and Kyler Murray, I don't know what's going to happen there. So we'll see. But Justin Jefferson has a chance. Ja'Marr Chase, if he continues to – him and Joe Burrow could keep lighting it up. He's just always really, really good. And even Jackson Smith-Njigba, I know he's kind of had this one elite season – but man, he's really freaking good. Like he's solid. And I thought about Davante Adams,
Davante Adams was actually was the one I was gonna say, just because even after when he left, everyone thought, when he left Green Bay, he would fall off a cliff or something. Went to Vegas with a mess of a quarterback situation, still had a damn good, 2022 season. I don't know if he's not the peak Davante Adams anymore, but
on the Rams, he had a good year last year with the Rams.
I think he's probably the deadliest red zone threat as well. Dude.
He's still very productive in that area. But like you said, not nearly the prime Adams and Rodgers combination that we were seeing in Green Bay. But he narrowly missed my list as well. We'll see if any of these other guys can sneak up onto our list in years to come. Definitely stay tuned. But Mr. Tariq, man, it's kind of a sad episode. It's a bittersweet episode because this is going to be your last one with RBLR with the Bucks. It's not going to be the same without you, man. I'm hoping that we can sneak you on as a guest appearance in a few episodes in the years to come. But man, it's not RBLR without Musab. You've been here since the beginning. Do you have anything you want to say to the fans or anything you want to reflect on?
No, dude, it's honestly just been legendary, seriously. I still remember, when we had first started this, covering all the sports at once, just me and Eureka, kind of felt like a startup, starting in someone's garage or something. And
yeah.
Now it's like a big empire building, in downtown Manhattan,
Absolutely.
So, seriously, though, I also just wanted to give a shout out to everyone, you know, who's been part of RBLR, first of all, starting with you, Carter, and then Eureka, who's made it all happen, Zach, you know, Santiago, Stefan, everyone who's been on RBLR Bucks, and then everyone who's joined the rest of the, you know, the RBLR clans, covering, you know, the Rays, Lightning, all of them. Seriously, they have made this so great. And I, it's honestly just so, it's a very proud feeling, you know, to have that kind of sense of belonging and to be able to say that, you know, you're part of something that kind of started small, but now is gone really big. And, you know, again, just shout out to every single one of all y'all on RBLR, for everything that y'all do. I know, you know, people have left RBLR for, you know, bigger things as well, which is, you know, great to see, you know, that they're, you know, taking on the next step as well in the sports world. So, no, man, it's been legendary. It's been one hell of a ride. I can't imagine. I know Eureka probably tell me how many episodes I've done and all that, but yeah, man, I still have, you know, a lot of the old kind of, you know, document notes and all of that. And I still remember, I think our first episode was 2021. Was it like end of 2021? Around there. Yeah. I think it was around end of 2021. Cause I remember, I think I had just moved to Boston and we started with you. So
I was living in Winter Haven at the time. And it was around that time that, you know, the Bucks were kind of, you know, still the Brady era. So it was a lot of fun, but yeah, man, it's not going to be the same without you, man. It's been such a joy and such a fun part of the show is getting to hang out with Mr. Musab Tariq. You know, I don't know. We're never going to find people, a person that can fill your shoes, but we're certainly going to try. But we appreciate everything that you've done here, Musab, and best of luck. Maybe this is more of a see you later rather than a goodbye.
Yeah. See you later. No, I'll definitely do my best to pop in. And I wanted to just say thank you, as always, Carter, for navigating these waters, you know, on this show. You know,
well, you make it incredibly easy, man. They're not treacherous waters. It's like, it's the lazy river in Adventure Island with Musab Tariq. You know, it's easy. It's easy swimming for sure. But that's going to do it for us. I know it sucks to end on a bittersweet note like this, but we'll be back next week with some more all-time ranking stuff. Musab will still be here, you know, he'll pop in he'll pop in and out. So it's not, like I said, not a goodbye, but more of a see you later. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Hope y'all enjoyed the show and hit that like and subscribe button on your way out. But until next time, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.